looking forward to what you're going to share with us this morning. Everybody, open your hearts up real big, because you're going to get ministered to. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, honey.
Amen. All right, let's pray. Father God, I just thank you for this day, Lord. I thank you that it's good to stop and focus on you. It's good to stop and rest. And so I pray that this morning there would be a seed of hope that would be dropped within us, Lord, that it would begin to grow and grow and grow in Jesus' name. Amen? I really need these glasses. Anyways, I could take a perpetual vacation. I think I should take a vacation every day and then just carve out a little bit of time for work. I haven't gotten out of that in my life. I still just want to go play. So unfortunately, hopefully I'll grow out of that. I'm 53 and I'm not sure what's taken so long. But so we've been on a series of living in the light of eternity. And last week, Pastor Roger talked about the Father's reward. And he made a statement in his message about that when you know there's a heaven, when you stay focused on eternity and you know that there is more to this life than just the now, when you don't know that, it's like driving down the road of your life and falling asleep at the wheel. And that kind of just gave me an imagery in my mind, and I thought, you know, that's exactly what it's like. And what I'm going to talk about today is about sowing and reaping. And it's kind of like that as well, because if you lose sight of what you're doing and what seeds that you plant, both good and bad, that it is like driving down the road of your life and falling asleep. And some people have become discouraged, and they actually drive off some random cliff, and you never hear from them again. Now, I like the rumble strips, you know, when you're driving down the road, because I can be a distracted driver. Anybody that's ridden with, God bless my mom, pray for her, because I am a distracted driver. And the other day I was driving down the road, and I saw this, like, longhorn steer. I mean, how many times do you see that? And a bunch of like five little goats jumping behind him. Well, I'm sorry, I'm going to look at that. You know what I mean? Like, and the rumble strips is like, and sometimes I think some of us, the rumble strips of life need to shake us awake, because we don't realize there's an eternity and then there's also this present world. And they really go hand in hand. And so I want to read the scripture out of Galatians chapter 6, 7 through 10. And this is out of the Passion Translation. Make no mistake about it. God will never be mocked. For what you plant will always be the very thing you harvest. The harvest you reap reveals the seed that was planted. If you plant the corrupt seeds of the self-life into the natural realm, you can expect to experience a harvest of corruption. If you plant the good seeds of spirit life, you will reap the beautiful fruits that grow from the everlasting life of the Spirit. And don't allow yourself to be weary or disheartened in planting good seeds, for the season of reaping the wonderful harvest you've planted is coming. Take advantage of every opportunity to be a blessing to others, especially to our brothers and sisters in the family of faith. I'm just going to jump here for a minute. Especially to our brothers and sisters in our family of faith. Take every opportunity to be a blessing. This is just a side note. Wow, we really need to take that to heart. Because lately, people, brothers and sisters in Christ, have not been very kind to one another, right? Well, we need to take every opportunity to be a blessing. So the first point I want to make is we harvest what we plant. So this is kind of interesting, but we actually have that the natural law of life and the spiritual law of life are the exact same. Now, if we really understood that, we would probably live very differently. So if I plant a seed of corn, I'm going to reap corn. If I plant tomatoes, if I plant whatever I plant, I'm going to reap that harvest. That will come out of the ground. I'm not going to get, you know, you've heard this before, you're not going to plant an apple seed and then get, you know, tomato plant. I mean, you're just not. That's how the seed. And then, I don't know what goes on under the ground there, but cool stuff happens, and next thing you know, in time, there's a harvest, okay? So the same is with the spiritual law. It's the exact same. Whatever you plant, so if you plant hatred, if you plant bitterness, if you plant envy, your harvest over time will be hatred. Either you'll be so packed full of hate, or you'll just hate people, or you'll hate life, you'll hate your life. It doesn't always look like what you think it's going to look like. It's kind of be subtle. You just have this waking up in the morning like, I hate my life. Or you'll be envious. Everybody looks better than I do. Or you'll be like, you know, you get what I'm saying? And the tricky thing is, when you plant something, it doesn't just immediately pop up. So, and in the church world, you've seen that, where you've seen a lot of pastors fall, like a lot of moral failures. You see it in the real world too. For some reason, in the Christian world, it's like a bigger deal. I don't know why. It's the same sin. Everybody's, you know, come on. But for some reason, it's like if a pastor hurts your feelings, oh my God, the whole world comes down. But if your CEO hurts your feelings, you don't quit your job. But somehow you're never going to come back to that church again. No, I'm poking you now. But anyhow, so the point of that is it's interesting. I don't know what my point was, actually. I just kind of went on that for a second. So you reap what you sow. And if you sow good seeds, you reap the good seeds. And what happens is, I think sometimes we can get a little bit discouraged because we don't know how long. So when I go back to people who have failed, you know, publicly in the Christian world, they still might do something on a Friday night that nobody knows about, their wife doesn't know about, their husband doesn't know about, their children don't know about, their parishioners don't know about it, but they can get up on Sunday morning and they still got it. And they can do that for a while because it's all under the ground. But eventually that seed of corruption will grow, okay? It will grow. Now, there's ways that you can get it to stop growing, and it's called repentance. You get people to help you pull it out of the ground. But today I want to talk about not giving up. Not giving up sowing the good seeds. I got to say hi to my girls right there, Lainey and Camden. They got up early in the morning. That's a good seed. That's good seed coming to church and being a teenager, because a lot of people don't like to get up early in the morning. So that's a good seed right there. So we harvest what we plant. Lord, I just thank you that you want us to see that you are not mocked, that you remember. I thank you, Father God, that you want us to know that we can have, you're inviting us into a relationship with you this morning, to know that you know that you know the things in the seeds that we plant. And so I didn't really know about, I didn't really think about this message in the fact of like eternity and hope and things like that, but I actually started thinking about it when I went to California. That the very thing that you plant, you reap. I'm in children's ministry, and a lot of times I'll plant things with kids, and I've loved other people's kids, but I never really reap that. I never really see the harvest of that, because it's little kids, and they grow up, and you never know. Did I make a difference? I don't know. Did anything I said ever make it? Every teacher in here probably says, yeah, I have no idea. And sometimes I would see little kids that would come like one Sunday morning. I'd never see them ever again. And I had no control over that. And so sometimes, you know, you can get a little bit weary in sowing that seed because you never reap the harvest. And you kind of get used to it over time. And so when I was in California, I felt like the Lord began to show me that the seeds that I had sown in decades ago, he began to show me a glimpse of the harvest. Because like I said, you plant it in the ground and you don't know what's all happening under there. Okay, I'm not a biologist, a horticulturist, I'm not any of those things. I'm not even going to try to describe what goes on under the ground there. I could have Googled it, and I just chose not to, just because I don't care. So I do care, but I don't care. So stuff goes on under there, and so you never know what's happening. So you sow a seed. So there are seeds that I sowed that some people don't even know about, but God knows about them. And so when I went to California for my daughter's graduation, I didn't know this was going to happen. I just thought I was going to see her graduate, and it was going to be a great time of celebration, things like that. I didn't know it was going to be a holy moment for me. I didn't know that God had a surprise for me. And so when I got there, I began to see things, because I got to see her in her world, and it was almost as if I was watching a movie. I wasn't really in it, because I don't live there. That's her life. That's not necessarily my life. And so there's something that happened, and you would think, oh, that's just a little thing. It was a big deal to me. So she's moving her stuff from her dorm room into this house, and she's living with a family, Bob and Lisa. They have two small boys. They're letting her live with them while she's in transition until she gets her apartment mid-July. So we go over and we're taking things, and Eden was kind of upset because she had a real pretty dress for graduation, and when she was moving it, it dropped on the ground and had some dirt on it. And so I just went into mom mode, and I'm like, oh, well, I'll take care of it. I'll get that stain out for you, no problem. Just when I get over there, just give me the dress, and I'll just go at it, you know, with all my toolkits of Shout and Stain Stick and a little bit of Dawn dish liquid. I mean, I'm all over it, you know. I'm ready. Mom's ready. I can take care of this. I'll fix it. And so I get there. there's this little exchange that happens between her and Bob, that he's like the father of the home. And he comes out right before we're getting ready to leave. It was just like a little passing exchange. He said, "Oh, hey, Eden, I just want to let you know that your dress looks great. Lisa got the stain out. She ironed it. It's hanging up in your room." Wonderful. It was like I wasn't even around. All of a sudden, this dad steps in there and starts telling her about how Lisa, kind of like the mom, took care of everything. "You don't have to worry about anything, honey. It's hanging in your room. It's pressed. It looks great." And for a split second, I was like, wow, like, that's awesome. Like, he's really caring for my child. And like I said, I was watching a movie. Like, and all of a sudden, the Lord just started flipping the pages of my life. He said, "Do you remember all those times you've taken care of other people's children? Year after year after year." I'm talking, I'm 52 years old, I think. Maybe I'm 53, I don't know. Anyhow, it's been a long time. I have to ask my mom later, how old am I? He started flipping the pages of my life and the little babies that I held and the little children that I held, the little baby with Down syndrome that I held, the little boy that got his braces on his legs for the first time, the little boy that used his little wheelchair with his mouth because his arms and legs didn't work and I was there to celebrate with his family, the teenagers that I hang out with, the young adults that I've talked to, flipping pages after pages after pages. I was reaping a harvest. I was reaping a harvest, and the Lord said, "As you have loved other people's children, so I will love your child. Other people will love your child as their own." And then I went to the next ceremony, and the same favor just, and the next one, and my daughter should be a statistic. A single mom and a couple of major traumatic things happened to her life. She should be like a statistic, a dropout. She shouldn't be honors. She shouldn't be on the honor roll. Come on, single moms, that your kid's on the honor roll. That's a big deal because you should be a statistic. Because I found that statistic out when I started researching what happens to single moms and their kids. And their kids are the lowest in academics. Not my kids. Because of seeds sown. Some I sowed. Some people's just sowed. But I reaped this harvest, and I didn't expect it. That was my surprise. So whatever you plant, I can guarantee you, you will reap it. Because God is not mocked. He remembers. He knows. Which can be scary if you planted stuff you don't want to plant. But that's, I got good news for you. You can dig that up. And I'll get to that at the end. So just bear with me. Because God remembers. One of my favorite people, it's Hannah. I love her. She's so radical, and I could talk about her for days. I'm just going to mention something. There's a scripture and a passage. So God remembers. God is not mocked. He remembers us. Don't be deceived. He knows. And that used to scare me, like, he knows all that you do. Because the wrath of God, he just wants to pour it out on us. That is not all it is. He knows. He knows. He remembers. He wants to bless you. That's why so many times it talks about, you know, what you've sown in tears, you'll reap in joy. You don't know the decisions I made for my daughter that were sown in tears. Literal tears. But whew, I reaped it. I reaped it. And I didn't get weary and well-doing of just caring for other people's kids all the time. I'm talking like 20, over 20-some years that I have been caring for other people's children. Some of it, I've loved it. Some of it's been rough. But there's something in me, I love it. I'll get to that in a second. So God remembers. So in Hannah, 1 Samuel 1 through 19, if you want to read a radical story, read it about her. Anyways, she's barren gal, and she really wants a baby, and she's been kind of ridiculed because she hasn't had a child. That's a big deal back then. She goes into the church, basically, throws herself at the altar, and just makes a huge scene. I don't know what she was doing, but she was just pouring out her pain to God. It must have been pretty wild because Eli, the priest or the pastor of the temple church thing, comes up to her and he thinks she's drunk, okay? He's like, "Whoa, you had too much to drink there, girl." I mean, could you see that in social media today? You know, we'd be hashtagging the heck out of that. Hashtag not drunk. You know, everybody that's ever been offended, you know, hashtag not drunk. You know, she's like, no, I'm literally just crying my heart out because I want a baby so bad. Well, then it's like awkward moment because he's like accused her of like drinking, you know? And he's like, oh, yeah. So he blesses her. This time next year, in the awkward moment, you're going to have a baby. So she leaves like, oh. And then it says here that her husband knew his wife Hannah, and the Lord remembered her. The Lord remembered her. And that was the night that Samuel was conceived, because God is not mocked, and he remembered her. And Hannah would give birth to Samuel, and she would stay true to her promise. And she took her little boy Samuel to the temple, leaves him there, after he's been weaned, radical, and goes home. Well, she did her thing, and God did his thing. But God's never done. He blesses her 5 more times. And he later, that wasn't part of the deal. Hannah did what Hannah was supposed to do. She sowed a precious seed. Woo, that seed had some harvest. One daughter, 2 daughters, little boy. She has 5 children. And it says that God visited her 5 times. 2 sons, 3 daughters. In the commentary, it says that she would have been barren. This is people's opinion, that had God not visited Hannah, she never would have had children because she was barren. He did a creative miracle 5 times. That's awesome, because she sowed her child. God is not mocked. You think he's not going to remember that? Come on. Who do you think we serve? He's loving. He's kind. My goodness, you give him your highest best. You don't think he's going to bless you back? I'm not saying you go throw around $100 because you want get like, I mean, I don't can. I don't know. Maybe it works. I'm talking about like a heart issue. Like he sees what you do. He knows what you do. He sees that you sowed in tears and you reap in joy. It takes a little while. So don't give up. So don't give in. So don't quit. Because stuff's going on under the ground. I don't know what's happening, but stuff's going on. Google it. Don't give up, don't give in, don't quit. Whatever you have sown, whatever seed you plant, you will reap if you don't faint. Brings me to my other point, is I had a Hannah moment in my life, and it was during the time of my son's sickness, and they're like, okay, here she goes talking about her son's sickness again. I only have one testimony. I can't mix it up a whole lot, okay? I got one trowel. It was a big one. And my son was sick with cancer, if you don't know my story. He was 8 years old at the time. And I was in a trial of my life, as you can imagine, a single mom with a child with cancer. He needs radiation just about every day. He needed chemotherapy almost every other day. And my family had to have a conversation with me, and they said, Laura, you're not going to be able to work. How are you going to work? Plus, he only had so much life to live. I mean, it was, if I wanted to go by the medical report, he had 11 to 15 months to live. So what do you do with that? Do you go to your 9-to-5 job? I didn't know what to do. I've never had a child with terminal cancer. I don't know about you. I didn't know what to do. And my family talked me into not working. And what started happening is just random people started paying my rent, paying my utilities. I didn't really care because I was in the crisis of my life, and I'm just here in passing. Hey, somebody paid your rent for 3 months. Oh, that's awesome. Someone paid. I couldn't absorb it all at the time. And it was before social media. So this is all word of mouth. This is old school. Word of mouth. Like letters and stuff. Okay? This was before GoFundMes even existed. And so Make-A-Wish has this really cool program called Make-A-Wish Pets, and it helps people that have children that are dying, and it helps them get funds. And so they give them a product to sell. It's like a little, it could be anything. We chose these little beanie dogs. They're super cute, and they were like $5, and my family called them. I wasn't even a part of that. I have no idea how they established it, but it was called Love for Logan. You bought this little puppy dog for $5. It went to the GoFundMe that didn't really exist at the time to help pay for the living expenses. So this single mom that you don't even know about in West Virginia with some kids, you're helping her. Oh, yeah, sure. I'll give that little as a gift. Here's $5. Well, lo and behold, the money given was very much the exact same amount that I would have made if I worked that year. And no more. I didn't get rich. I'm not driving some crazy car out there. I'm not living in luxury. I mean, I am, but, you know, I'm rich in the Lord. Rich off of anybody. It's compassion. But I wasn't destitute either. I had enough because that's how God is. And then when I went back over it, when things settled and gone to be with Jesus, I went through cards and letters. And here's the cool thing. 95 to 98% of the letters, good many of them were from children's ministries, little Sunday schools, little kids' Sunday schools, got a lot of those, and the Methodist Church. Almost every single church, 98% of the churches that gave to me were Methodist churches. No Catholics. I'm not saying Catholics, they could have given. I didn't get no Catholics, no Baptists. Little kids' Sunday schools and the Methodist Church. Well, I don't know about you, but I don't think that's a coincidence after a while. After a while seeing that, I'm like, hey, there's something's up here. What? And the Lord begins to unfold my harvest. It wasn't even my harvest. I was reaping from my grandmother's harvest. My grandmother on my mother's side, my grandmother on my father's side, and generations on past them all attended the Methodist Church. Hallelujah. All attended the Methodist Church, and I would go with them on Sunday mornings as my grandmothers went to their little women's Sunday school class. So every seed sown, every pie made, every meatball rolled for the spaghetti dinner, every time spent where my grandmothers would serve and give and go see shut-ins and however, Methodist Church, Methodist Church, Methodist Church. Generations, decades down the road, there's a young gal. God's trying to get her some harvest because she needs some help. Where do you think it comes from? The seeds that are in the ground that my generations prior to me sowed. Hallelujah. Children's ministry after children's ministry after children's ministry, I reaped. I even had a gentleman, and I don't ever know his name. He retired from the company that my brother worked at. This is kindness. I'm sure he has a great harvest for this act of kindness. Instead of receiving gifts for his retirement, he asked everybody to donate to my family. And I received a check from his retirement for the years of service that he worked, where it's time for everybody to come in, celebrate him, bless him with here, go on vacation, go have a root beer on me. You know? And instead, he's like, you know what? I'm gonna throw that out on the waves there to somebody else. So you know it rolled back to him some other way. I don't know where his life is. Maybe he sowed something because later on in his life, there was going to be some trauma that he was going to have to overcome and someone was going to have to bless him. No idea. I can't remember his name. God's not mocked. He remembers. Here's a sweet story of what he remembers. Every Mother's Day, since my son passed away, I always get flowers. Always. I don't even have to ask for them. I could care less if I ever get flowers on Valentine's Day. Come on. I'll go buy my own. Here, sweetheart. Thank you, sweetheart. If I need flowers on Valentine's Day, I'll go get my own. Single women, go get your own. Single guys. But Mother's Day, that's between me and him. That's between me and him. And I don't want any flowers from my daughter. I don't want them to come from her. That's too predictable. I want them to come from him, from a random person that I never even knew that would bring them. And so I didn't notice it right away. It takes a while. You start seeing a pattern in your life, start asking the Lord, hey, what's up here? Because this is going on and on. This is interesting now. I didn't notice it right away. The first time it came from my church, there was a beautiful bouquet, and they gave it to me that year. And then after that, it came again and again and again and again. Several times it came from little boys in my class that only God knew I had taken in as my own. Usually they didn't have mothers. They were incarcerated or struggling or distracted. And I would come in that period of time that I was with them 6 to 8 hours, and I would mother them and nurture them. And something happened on Mother's Day that always bring me a flower. Now, this Mother's Day, I thought, you know what? I'm in California. I'm not a teacher anymore. I'm kind of in a different role. That season might be over. My son would be 25. My daughter's 22. That season of that playful relationship with God, that might be done now. But see, God's not mocked. He remembers. And if it's important to you, it's probably more important to him. So I went to work on Monday morning, and someone said, somebody left something for you. I'm like, oh, really? Okay. I was just thinking it was more paperwork. I unlock the door, and I walk in, and there's a little rose. And a little thing of candy. It said, Happy Mother's Day. And it was from one of the moms. And I thought, you're cool. I had forgotten. I was starting to forget, but you don't forget. And there's another thing, every time I'm at the ocean, I see dolphins, every time. I don't even ask for it anymore. I used to ask every time, can I see a dolphin? Yeah. And that's kind of I don't worship dolphins. It's just a very personal story. If you know me well enough, you might know it. If not, it's not a big deal, but it is to me. It's just a little thing between me and him. I don't ever ask for it anymore because I just know I will. I just know that I will. And one morning I was walking down with them. I think today I'm going to see a dolphin. I was down there half a second. Oh, there's two dolphins. Cool. One time my daughter's like, I wish I saw a whale. I said, that'd be cool, wouldn't it? We were on a little boat trip on the Pacific, and he said, I'd like to see a whale sometime. That'd be neat. All of a sudden I hear, hey, whale. I'm like, what? Where's whale? I'm like, what? Starboard whale. Everybody was like, what? I just get up, and next thing I know, water goes up in the air, and it goes, the tail comes up, and everybody's freaking out. I'm hugging people I don't even know. We just saw a whale. But she just asked for it. Isn't that cool? So some seeds don't have to stay in the ground very long. You just drop them in. Next thing you know, you got a big whale out there. You know? I was like, next time, ask for some money. So don't grow weary. God's inviting us into a relationship. My goodness, every day we go outside and we see a tree. Who do you think planted that? Somebody planted it. Either some little bird did by dropping a random little seed out of its mouth, or a man or woman planted it, or a kid. Somebody planted it. Human hand might have did it. Every day, the Lord speaks to us through creation, telling us, whatever you plant, you're going to sow. Whatever you plant, you're sow. I'm going to close with, don't grow weary in well-doing. Because you'll reap it if you don't lose heart. You're either going to reap it this side of heaven or that side of heaven. My grandmothers didn't know they were sowing seed that I would reap. They didn't know that. Your grandchildren, your great-great-grandchildren don't know that they will reap what you sow, either this side of heaven or that side of heaven. And heaven is real. Just really quickly, the same season that my son was sick, he would share the bed. He slept in my room because if he needed me, then I was right there, you know, and I could hear him if he needed struggle breathing or whatever. And I woke up, it was a mid-morning, and it was still a little dark out, and his hands are raised in the air just like this. You know how you see people raising their hands in church? I think this is what it means. I mean, there's lots of theological reasons why it means, but I think my 8-year-olds kind of summed it up. And how many know that 8-year-olds really love their moms? Like, you're like the woman in their life. It doesn't last long, so if you have an 8-year-old, you better love on that right now, because that doesn't last long, right? Every mom in here that has a son knows what I'm talking about. It's gone. So don't worry about it. He's not going to be 16 clinging to you, trust me. But when he's 8, you are awesome. You're the woman in his life. He's only got eyes for you, right? 9 under, when sorry, it gets awkward after that, sorry. Hate to break it to you. So he's got his hands raised and he yells out, I'm hugging God, because I think he defined what it is to raise your hands. I'm hugging God, but I love you. Hugging God, but I love you. And I whispered into his little ear, and he's got olive skin like me, and I said, you're released. If you want to go, you can go. Be with God. Which you think, what kind of mother does that? A kind of mother that's willing to know that there's more to this world. And if he's hugging God and struggling with wanting to be there and looking back at me, do not let me be a distraction. Go, baby, go. Because there's no safer place than to be home. And you don't think your eternal home is better than this? This ain't all there is. This is not all there is. I remember the couple months after he passed away that, man, heaven felt more real than here. And I think God was giving me that comfort to feel that. And I think I kept telling people, I had this like little cry for help, like, please, like, I don't know what I'm going to be like when all this is done. Because I literally thought I would just be crazy. Lo and behold, I actually felt closer to him because we're one. He's in the spirit, I'm in the spirit. We're just temporarily physically separated. This is not all there is. And if you live that this is all there is, you're going to be driving through your life and falling asleep. And it's time to wake up and be present. Be present. This is what's happening in the world right now. There's a young man named Will Ford, and he has a friend named Matt Lockett. I don't know if you've heard this story before, but you better listen to these guys' names because I'm telling you, they are going to be help heal our land. So prayers never leave the planet. They remain. Even those who have gone to heaven, they're going to reap those prayers. And so Will Ford is a young black man, and Matt Lockett is a young white man. And they randomly met one day on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial. And they both had a dream, and the dream led them to meet at this Lincoln Memorial. It was a big prayer thing, Lou Engle, Dutch Sheets, you know, I'll throw out those names for people that know who they are. So they both show up there, and they begin to make a connection, and they're like, wow, we have like a real same heart. We have the same heart to heal racism. We have the same heart to see Roe v. Wade and abortion overturned. We just like have the same heart. And the story of Will Ford is his ancestors were a part of slavery in Louisiana, and they have this black kettle. Can you show that picture of that black kettle? And he's been traveling around the world with this black kettle. Now, the family that owned him, or owned his family, were wicked, okay? Wicked people. They forbid any of the slaves to pray because they knew if they prayed, they would have hope. And they would, I don't even want to talk about the violence because it's just horrific. So they would hold these secret prayer meetings in the barn. This pot was used for cooking, for washing clothes, etc. They would put this in the barn, and then someone would be on the lookout. And you see how those rocks are underneath it? It raises it up a tad. Will Ford's family would get down on their face and put their lips underneath that, and they would begin to pray because it would muffle the sound of their prayers. And then there was somebody on the lookout. And they would pray. They knew they weren't going to get free. It's too late for them, but not for their generations. And they prayed and they prayed and they prayed that slavery would end and that there'd be generations that would live. So this kettle and that story was passed down from one generation to the next generation to the next generation. And so he has this divine connection with some prayer warriors, and then they begin to travel with that. At the same time, he and Matt Lockett are friends. Matt Lockett doesn't know his history at all, okay? So Will knows his history. Matt doesn't know his. And they were kind of joking because Will Ford comes from the Lockett family with one T, and Matt Lockett comes from the Lockett family with two T's. So they're friends for 10 years. And then Matt begins to do some genealogy research. And just with some help from some people, they researched his brother, the whole thing. They end up discovering that they had a farm called Lockett Farm. And on that farm was where slavery, where these people prayed, was where, I believe, I might be wrong on that fact, but where slavery came to an end. And so they look at the Lockett family and they realize that at one point, some of the family goes to Kentucky, but some of them go to Louisiana. And they actually become plantation owners. Then they realized, due to a clerical error, that there was one T and not two. These two brothers become the answer to a prayer when they discover that Matt Lockett's generation were plantation owners to the family that Will Ford was in. Now, you can't make this up. And God brought these two young men together to go and speak about the brotherhood of peace and ending racism in our country. They met on the Lincoln Memorial where Dr. Martin Luther King had a prayer prophecy that in the future, slave owners and slaves would become kin, their kin would become friends and sit around the table of brotherhood. I'm telling you, that's happening right now. That's happening right now. I have I'm really doing a bad job on the testimony of that because it's very intricate and only God could have done all this stuff. When you hear their story, and I have it, so if you want it, I'll email it to you. It's powerful. Listen, God is not mocked. Whatever you pray, in tears you shall reap in joy. Whatever you sow, whatever you plant. My question this morning is, what do you need to sow? What do you need to sow? Also, what do you need to dig up? Because when I started, like, my faith started getting built about the fact that whatever you plant, you're going to harvest. I was like, oh my gosh, I got some bad seeds in that. I don't even want to shovel. I'm just going to go dig the ground like a dog and get it out of there as fast as possible. I'm not even going to take the time to go to the garage, look for the shovel. I'm just going to start digging. Get it out of there. Well, how do you get it out? You repent. Oh gosh, repent for my selfishness. I repent for my impatience. I grow weary in the fruit of the Spirit. Long-suffering, patience, kindness, joy, love, peace. Dig them up. You can do that today by just repenting. But then, like, what are you supposed to sow? You know? Some of us need to sow our time. Do you realize 80% of Christians are spectators? 100% of the ministry is done by 20% of the people? What would happen if we came in here and we really believed that whatever we plant, we harvest? What would happen if we came in here and we were all about, man, what'd you do last week? Oh my gosh, this is so cool. I just helped a guy. I just opened the door while he was going into the movie theaters because he couldn't walk very well. Pay attention. That is huge for the person that can't walk very well. Like, what are we doing? Pay attention. Let the rumble strips wake you up. It doesn't have to be like, oh, I gave $1,000 to some healing ministry. Maybe just go give a dollar to somebody that can't pay their, you know, like, here, you need some extra change. I mean, just pay attention. We just need to pay attention. Because whatever we plant, we're going to reap it. Whatever you plant, you're going to reap it. There are generations that have planted in your life, young man. You know it. There are generations of people that have prayed for you, like grandmothers and lots of people who have, like, believed that you can beat it. You can be the one that gets out. I believe that for you. You might have to dig up some things, you know what I'm saying? We can help you. So what do you need to sow? What do you need to sow? Hannah sowed Samuel. Look what she reaped. Not only did she get 5 blessings, but the world reaped a prophet. And here's the thing. God doesn't ask us to do something he didn't already do. God sowed his only child. He gave his only child. And sometimes he sowed his only begotten son. What does that mean? It means his only child, his kid, his son, his baby, his one and only, his prized possession. He gave it to us. Let us do whatever we wanted to do to him. And the world reaped a savior. You know what God reaped? Us. The children of his creation. He got us all back. So I want to invite you this morning to just come on back. Come on back. Come on back. Those that have maybe been, like, wayward or not knowing where you're going, like, because we really can think that your life doesn't have purpose. You could be 90 years old, just getting started. You can just be getting started. Some of you don't even realize you sowed any seeds because it's such an easy gift to do. My mother's been really good at caring for people when they've not been well. I don't want to expose too much, but she'd be like, yeah, just put me somewhere. I'm like, that's never going to happen. All those seeds that she's sown, caring for people and laying down her life for people, God's never going to let that happen. Never. How could he? How can you sow seeds and not reap? How can you not lay your life down for somebody else and not reap a harvest? So God, I just pray right now in the name of Jesus. It's every head bow. There's somebody in here that you really can relate to Will Ford's story and Matt Lockett. Some of you may just need to really forgive a lot of wicked people. And so those are seeds that have been sown in the ground, you know. You might need to dig those up. Just offer people forgiveness, even when they don't deserve it. Just offer it. It's just so love. Just do the opposite of what you really want to do. You really want to, like, probably punch somebody in the face, but do the opposite. Because that's a seed sown. That's actually a seed sown in tears. When you really, really want to do something mean to somebody, and instead you do something good. And you'll reap it. It'll be joyful. Father, I just pray that this altar would just be a precious time, that we just feel you inviting us to a real relationship with you, just a wonder, exploration, adventure, that whatever we plant, we're gonna reap it. Not to give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give in. Don't quit.
No, I can do it.
Don't quit. That's all it is. Just don't quit. Don't quit.
Hallelujah. Let's stand together. Would you do that with me? Stand together. We're going to dismiss, but we have an incredible, timely word to our hearts, haven't we? I believe the Holy Spirit has been affirming, even correcting. He always affirms. The Lord's love is always very affirming whenever we get an insight that can help us change. How many of you feel like you want to dig up some stuff and get rid of it? Lord, we want to thank you that each person here, each person you think well of, you love and you think well of. And we pray, Father, now in your precious name, that the distance, that the obstacles, that the things that have been between receiving the depth of your love, those things would be uprooted. And I ask, Lord, that each person have a deposit of the good seed of your love, your life, your light, your truth coming inside to bear forth the fruit unto eternal life. So we seal this moment now and invite you to do the work in Jesus' name. If you haven't received your, amen, if you haven't received the Lord, I would invite you to come on down and we'll pray with you. You're loved. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.